Prayer. Just now, let's seek his face for his help tonight. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee, O God, for the privilege again that's ours to draw into thy presence. We ask, O God, that tonight you'd be pleased to come, minister to us, we pray, and pour out your Spirit upon us in a remarkable way tonight, Lord, as we seek to praise and glorify thy great name. Give us help, we pray, in the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. 263 is our opening hymn this evening, 263. The words are on the screen as well. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Tremendous hymn, and let's sing with all of our hearts unto the Lord. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Let's seek the Lord again, please, in prayer. Let's ask for his help and his presence with us tonight in this gospel meeting. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight that while we do stand in awe and wonder, Lord, that we should ever find an acceptance before thee. Yet, O God, we thank thee tonight that we can say, and can it be, that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that it's all because of what Christ accomplished for us there at that place called Calvary. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for his coming into this world. We thank thee, Lord, for that perfect life that he lived. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that he died there on Calvary's cross in order to bring we, the rebel sinners, back to God. And Heavenly Father, we rejoice this evening in all that we have in Christ. We thank thee, O God, tonight that we have a full and a free salvation. And Lord, for each one in this meeting tonight, Lord, we can sing from the depths of our hearts, "My chains fell off." We thank thee, Lord, tonight that those chains that bind us to our sin, we thank thee, O God, they've been released. We thank thee, O God, tonight you've set us free, and we go out free. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you be pleased, Lord, this evening, Lord, to do for others what you've done for us tonight. O God, we pray that you'll set the captive free tonight. Heavenly Father, we cry unto thee that you will be pleased, Lord, to do something new in this gospel meeting. Come and stir our hearts, O Lord, come and move amongst us, we pray. And Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us in a most remarkable and unusual way. We thank thee, O God, tonight for the message of the gospel. We praise thee, O Lord, this evening for that message that is old yet ever new. And we pray, O God, tonight that as the word of God and the gospel goes forth, Lord, that you will be pleased to speak, Lord, to sinners in this meeting. Bring them to thyself, O God, we pray. Bring them to an end of themselves. And Lord, do, Lord, in their hearts, Lord, that work of grace that only you can do. And so, our Father, we look to thee for this meeting. Bless our coming together tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege again that is ours to be found in the house of the Lord. And Lord, meet us at the very point of our need tonight. O God, we thank thee that we come to a throne of grace tonight to find that grace that is help that is needed. Lord, that help that is needed. Lord, we need help. Lord, as we come to worship thee, we need the help of the Spirit. And, O God, we pray you'll help us, therefore, tonight to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, you'll remember Peter as he ministered to us in song. Encourage him, bless him, we pray. We thank thee for him and encourage him, O God, we pray, as he would minister to us this evening, we pray. Lord, we pray you'll bless the singing of these hymns together. Bless the playing and the piano and the organ. And, O God, we pray tonight, especially around the word of God. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray. And, Lord, make this, Lord, a meeting like none other this evening, when God the Holy Spirit would come amongst us. Pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray. Hear and answer prayer. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us tonight, those who are unwell in their own homes or in hospital, in nursing care tonight, wherever they are, minister to them, meet them at the point of their need, and raise them once again to that desired measure of health and strength. And so be with us just now. Help us, we pray. Lord, we pray that much will be made of our Saviour tonight, and Lord, that our eyes will behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So hear and answer prayer, and do our hearts good this evening. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. We welcome back again to Sandown our brother Peter. He's at the piano tonight, and we thank him for his help as well in that. We welcome Josiah as well, his son. We're glad to have you both this evening. I don't know if you're going to sing too with your daddy, Josiah. No? No. Oh, well. Maybe another time. Peter, you're very welcome as always, and we'll hand over to you now. Lord bless you.
hearts desire to come into God's house this evening and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Reverend Wilson. It's always a joy to be back with you, and it's always a privilege to come down. This song is a little bit maybe different for a gospel service, but it's been on my heart this week. I know this tomorrow you start your gospel mission, and this song just kept coming back all through this week. It's so true. People still need the Lord.
That song takes me back to when I was a young boy. Yes, Eric, that's just about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Listening to Steve Green. Anybody ever heard of Steve Green singing? Brilliant singer, but surpassed by Mr. Mander here. That's a lovely song. People do need the Lord. And as we go to our gospel mission, let's never forget that. Let's never forget that any day. People still need the Lord. And let's especially remember it in the week that lies before in this gospel mission. Peter, thank you so much for your help tonight. We really appreciate it. I'm always blessed by his ministry. We'll hear from him in just a wee moment's time. We welcome you all tonight in the Saviour's name. Glad to see you. And we welcome you warmly in the Saviour's great name this evening to our gospel meeting. And also to those who are watching online, we give you that welcome as well. Now, I missed this morning, but I'm glad I didn't miss it at all. And that is another one of our young people has reached a significant birthday, and that is Aaron. I can just about see Aaron up there, way at the back, and he is turning 18 tomorrow, Aaron McVeigh. So a very happy birthday to you, Aaron, and I hope you've been spoiled and get lots of presents. So happy birthday to Aaron for tomorrow. Can I just remind you as well that if you can wait behind for just a moment tonight to get some things packed up and ready for the mission tomorrow, that would certainly be appreciated. Bring some light things from upstairs, downstairs, and get them all packed into Stephen's van. We appreciate Stephen for giving us his van again and transporting everything over to the hall. So if you can help just to pack up hymn books and bring down things from upstairs, that would certainly be appreciated. Now, do remember, our mission starts tomorrow night, 8 o'clock through to Friday night, and we welcome you and we trust that you will join with us night after night. Not only come yourself, but also bring others with you. And please do invite people, invite them along, bring them along night after night to the gospel mission. It is only 5 nights, it's a short mission, but we look to the Lord for his help over these next 5 nights and pray that the Lord will be pleased to bless even the outreach that has taken place over the past number of days and weeks. The Lord will use those invitations and that we'll see souls being saved, most of all to the glory of God. Tomorrow morning, for any who may be free, we'll need a few hands. Just if you're free tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, we'll meet at the hall to set up, get the chairs set up and get things set up for the meeting tomorrow night. There will be, as well, each night a season of prayer at 20 to 8, just for 10 or 15 minutes before the start of each service held in the room downstairs. So if you can come that little bit early, that would be much appreciated. There will, of course, be no meetings here in the church this week because all the meetings will take place over in the Orange Hall in Dundonald. So be much in prayer, come expecting, and come looking to the Lord to work night after night. Then next Lord's Day, the services commence 10:15, and the Sunday School and Bible class at that time. 11:30, our morning service, the Reverend David Linden will be here to preach. 2:30 is our Sunday School in Hollywood, and then the evening gospel service, and the Reverend McCrae will be here to sing and preach next Sunday evening at 6:30. So please do remember that. And as we said this morning, do remember there will possibly be some delays and traffic disruption in the morning time because of the marathon taking place, so please do bear that in mind. Remember to pray as well for those who are sick and shut in the congregation. Pray that the Lord would touch them and strengthen them at this time. Seniors outing, Wednesday the 24th of May. If you haven't got your envelope and your form, please do that and get it back to Colin or Hazel as soon as possible. And there are still copies of the Reverend Park's book, the devotional book, 100 Days After Lockdown. Do remember the offering boxes available there as you leave. We make all these announcements, as always, subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn at this stage. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? 224, we'll stand as we sing this hymn again, please. Let's stand and sing.
Washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood.
ask Peter to come and sing for us again, please. The Lord bless you. Peter, thank you very much again for your help tonight. We appreciate your ministry as we always do. I pray the Lord will bless those messages and song to our hearts. We're going to keep him working because he's going to sing tomorrow night at the mission. So we'll be back to sing. But whenever you've got a good thing, you want to get more of a good thing. So he'll be along to sing tomorrow night. There'll be singers every night as well. And there'll be a cup of tea afterwards, the meetings each night as well, afterwards as well. So please do remember the mission in your prayers. But Peter, for your help tonight, thank you so much for being with us. We're turning this evening to the Gospel of Luke, please. Luke's Gospel and the chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm going to read these familiar verses. These are very chilling words. I've spoken these words in the past. But let's hear the word of the Lord tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. We're going to read from verse 19. And we'll just maybe go down to verse 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And the verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We'll end there at verse 24, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. An emergency alert from hell. With the word of God open before us, let's seek his face in prayer just now. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us this meeting already. We thank thee, O God, for Peter as he's ministered to us in song. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for the messages in song, the blessing that they've been to our hearts. We pray, Lord, you'll bless Peter, encourage him, and Lord, continue to use him in his ministry and his service for thee. Our Father, we pray now that as we come to the word, Lord, as we come to the gospel for this evening, we cry unto thee tonight. Come, O God, we pray. Speak, O God, we ask of thee, and pour out your spirit. Lord, speak, O God, into the very innermost parts of hearts and lives tonight, we pray. And Lord, by thy spirit, apply the word to our hearts, we ask. So be with us this evening. Give help, Lord, as we seek to preach. Give help, Lord, as, Lord, we need to hear. And, O God, we pray that through it all, thy name would be glorified and honored. Answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. So today at 3 p.m., an emergency alert was sent to all mobile devices, phones, tablets, or whatever. An emergency alert was a test by the government to test their system should there be a need for it in the future, to alert people of some future emergency that may come, to alert people that their life may be in danger, and to tell them that there may be action that may be needed to be taken. Today was a test, and no action was needed to be taken as a result. But tonight in the gospel, I want us to speak about another emergency alert. But this emergency alert comes not from a government department. This emergency alert is not sent to your mobile phone or your device. This emergency alert is brought to you tonight from the very caverns of hell. And it has been sent right to your heart tonight. Now, I'm pretty sure that many people across our nation this afternoon dismissed this emergency alert that was received. There had been much publicity about it. But when the message came through, people just probably swiped it away, that is, if you received it at all, and didn't take another thought about it. But tonight in the gospel, one of the great fears that I have as a preacher is that you will hear this emergency alert about emergency far greater than any natural emergency, an emergency far worse than any natural disaster, an emergency that will affect your soul, and if not heeded, will damn your soul in hell, but that you will heed it, and like so many others, you will ignore it. You'll just pass it off. You'll think this really doesn't matter. This really is just another alert. Well, this evening I want you to listen like never before. Because what we have here in Luke 16 and this parable of the rich man in hell is one of the most solemn passages of Scripture that you will ever read. Because, you see, the man who is speaking tonight, the man who issues this alert, sat where you sat. He sat in reasonable health on this earth. He had a good life. He had a pleasant existence. But as we read in verse 22, that life came to an end and he died. And that's what I want you to realize this evening, that one day, perhaps sooner than you think, your life, like the life of the rich man, will come to an end. You know the statistics as well as I do in relation to death. One in every one dies. And after this man had lived his life, he died. We do not know, but it may well be that he had a grand funeral. A wealthy man on this earth, and no doubt there was no expense spared in giving him, as the you hear, a good send-off, a good farewell. Perhaps his tomb was elaborate, his headstone very ornate. There was no expense spared. But as you read in verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. Notice the very next words in verse 23, and in hell. And in hell. The rich man was carried in splendor to the grave. But his soul was cast into a lost eternity in hell. Listen tonight, it matters not what your coffin might be like at the day of your funeral. It matters not who might carry your coffin in and out of this church or any other place. What matters tonight is where you will be in eternity. Luke chapter 16, this parable relates to us and reminds us that there are only two destinations. The reference is made of Abraham's bosom. It's a reference to heaven. And the other reference is to hell. No in-between place. No place of soul sleep. No place of purgatory that you might get out of. It's either heaven or hell. And as you sit in this meeting tonight, you are going either to heaven or you are going to hell. That's the reality. This man lost his life, lost his soul in a lost eternity and in hell. But in that place, he sends an emergency alert to warn others. The emergency alert sent out this afternoon, as we said, was a test. Because there may come a time that it may be needed for real. Tonight, this emergency alert from hell is very real, because hell is a very real place. You read through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He preaches far more about hell than he does about heaven. He warns far more about that awful place than he does about his heavenly home. And so this evening I want us to consider this emergency alert from hell and what we hear, and what we're told in this alert. I want you to see, first of all, here the agonies that he experiences. In verse 23 we read, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." That word torment can also read torture. Hell is a place of unimaginable agony and torment. There's no soul sleep there. There's no state of unconsciousness there. There's no annihilation there. This man is very conscious. This man is very acutely aware of the agonies of hell. From hell tonight, this man issues this warning. This place is real. And this is a place of torture and agony and torment. Oh, in his life, he wasn't a believer. He didn't believe that there was such a place as hell. But I tell you now, he believes. But it's too late. Maybe tonight you discount the truth. Maybe this evening you want to discount the truth. Maybe in your own mind you just want to block the whole thing out of your mind and think, well, I don't really want to think about those things. But listen to this emergency alert tonight. This man who wished he had thought more about the things after life on this life than he did. Because now he's got plenty of time to think. Tonight he's got plenty of time to consider all that he had on this earth and now. But he's got nothing in hell. And being in torments. What is hell? Well, hell is the place where God's wrath is poured out on the unbelieving, unrepentant sinner. Hell is God's wrath and condemnation and righteous judgment being executed on the unconverted. This man talks about his present agonies in hell. He cries in verse 24, "Lazarus may be sent that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Many evangelicals tonight don't believe in the literal flames of hell. But here we read they're real. Beyond imagination, you stick your finger in the flame for a second, and I tell you, you'll soon squeal. But here's a man who, and his entire life is engulfed in flames and hell. The agonies, the unbearable imagination of what that must be. Can you visualize tonight what hell is like? A place of never-ending torment. A place of ever-burning fire. Will that be your destiny? Will it be the case that someone in this meeting tonight, as you take your last breath in this earth, and you open your eyes, and like this rich man, you will be in hell? God forbid that it should. William Booth, the founder and leader of the Salvation Army, was once asked what was the greatest motivation for Christian service. Or how could you really be motivated to seek to win people to Christ and the gospel? He said, if I could only pull back the covers of hell but for a second and show people what it's really like. And here is the Holy Spirit tonight, pulling back the covers of hell and revealing the realities, what it is like in that place. A place of torment, place of mental anguish as well. In verse 24, he says, I am tormented. I am tormented. Oh, people on this earth struggle with their struggles and they say they're tormented, but I tell you, there's no torment like the torments of hell. One of the art galleries in Belgium, there's a picture entitled Napoleon in Hell. And it represents the emperor surrounded by the multitudes of those who were slaughtered in his wars. And according to the artist's conception, hell for Napoleon was a memory of those deaths that he had and about his plans for further development. The reality is that Napoleon and all others who have died without Christ have taken to hell their memory. In hell, you've heard this before, and it is so true. In hell, you will remember every gospel meeting. In hell, you'll remember every gospel message. In hell, you'll remember every gospel invitation. Because you'll have plenty of time to think about all of that. You'll have plenty of time to remember that time when people urged you to get right with God. You'll have plenty of time to remember those times when someone in your family or your friends or your neighbors witnessed to you about getting right with Christ. But you just passed it off and said, sure, it'll be all right. This rich man had plenty of time to think about everything. And as a result, he was tormented. Hell is that place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And I believe the worm there is that worm of conscience. As you remember everything that you heard about the gospel and about Christ on this earth and how that you rejected. The greatness of the agonies, just if there was just a drop of water to relieve a suffering. Just a drop. The agonies that he experiences. But I want you to see, secondly, here in this emergency alert, there is the abandonment which he realizes. You come down into verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. A great gulf fixed. Whenever this rich man sent this emergency alert from hell, and he wanted his brethren on earth to be told and to be warned about this place, this man realizes he's in hell now for all eternity. He realizes there's no way out. There's no escape. He realizes that he is past God's opportunity. There are no more chances. He realizes that he had all the privileges on this earth. He had the privilege of those who witnessed to him. He had the privilege of that beggar man, Lazarus, at his very gates. A man that he probably never took under his notice. He had the privilege of the revelation of God in creation. He had the light of Christ, but he chose his sin over the Savior. And he realizes now that he will never, ever hear another gospel sermon. He'll never hear any more gospel hymns being sung. He'll never have anybody speaking to him now about being saved. He has no more opportunity because he realizes now there's a great gulf. I'm here forever. What he realizes in hell is that God has given up on him. What he realizes in hell is that God has abandoned him. God has forsaken him. God was gracious and merciful to him throughout his life, but he turned his back on the goodness and the grace of God, and now God has turned his back on him. God did to him what he did to God in his life. And folks, what you do with the Lord in this life will determine what he does with you in the life that is yet to be lived. God abandoned him. God forsook him. He calls for mercy. He needed mercy, but mercy is gone now. He calls for an opportunity, just a little opportunity, but there's no opportunity now. He realizes that the separation is eternal. Hell is a place where God has forgotten to be merciful. He's in a place now, there's no mercy. There's no mercy. There's no grace. You'll never be able to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound in Hell, because there is no grace there. There's a great gulf fixed no man can pass. No exits. No emergency routes. No leniency. Not just for a minute. Sinner in this meeting tonight without Christ, I want you to remember that in hell you'll never hear the gospel being preached. In hell you'll never hear another gospel song or hymn being sung. In hell no one will witness to you. Because it'll be all past then. It'll be over. But the worst abandonment in hell is the abandonment and the eternal separation from the presence of God. Paul, writing to the church of Thessalonica, he says in 2 Thessalonians 1, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. We're thankful for the Lord's presence in this gospel meeting. We look to the Lord for his presence in the mission that lies before us in this week. There's no presence of the Lord in hell. Hell is a place of endless separation from the Lord. Hell is a place of endless separation from the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save you from hell. You remember what the Lord himself said as he hung on the cross. You remember one of those sayings that he uttered as he was breathing out his last? my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, as Jesus Christ was our sin bearer, as Jesus Christ was our substitute on the cross, he endured hell on the cross. Part of that endurance was that he was forsaken by the Father. That is something, folks, we'll never understand. God forsaken of God. But that's what hell is. Forsaken and abandoned by God. The sinner in hell tonight sends this emergency alert and he tells you, sinner, this is a place of abandonment. Never see another sunrise. Never see another sunset. Never see another smile. Never hear another word of rejoicing. Hell is a place of total and absolute abandonment because there is a great gulf fixed. No man can pass. This emergency alert, he speaks about the agonies, the abandonment. But as we close tonight, notice the appeal that he makes. This emergency alert ends with an appeal. Verse 28. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. This man realizes he can't save himself. He realizes that hell is eternal, that hell is real, that it is agonizing. And so he cries that Lazarus might be sent to speak to his brothers. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. I think if I read verse 28 rightly, we can conclude that Lazarus had testified to this rich man in his life. That beggar at his gates perhaps may well have had opportunity to speak to him of his need, to get right with God, but he refused. Now he remembers that testimony. He remembers those words of warning, but he can't be helped. But he wants his brothers still on this earth to be told, don't come to this place. And so he says, lest they also come to this place of torment. There is no one in hell tonight who wants anyone on earth to come and to go there. We hear people tonight making light of the gospel. And for them, hell is some sort of long-lasting party. And they'll say, well, sure, if I'm going to hell, I'll be with my friends there. Just listen to the testimony of this man tonight. There's no party in hell. Just eternal pain. And so he appeals, tell my brothers on earth, flee from the wrath of God. Don't go to hell. Hell is no joke. Hell is no joke. And just by the way, I believe we should never make fun of someone who dies, no matter how wretched a life they live. They die in sin and go to hell. We should never make a joke of that. Or we should never rejoice in it. Hell is no laughing matter. This alert concludes with an appeal. Don't come here. Don't come here. Flee from the wrath of God. Run from this place tonight. Run to Jesus Christ, the one who on the cross of Calvary died to save you from hell. It's your only hope. There's not one tonight in hell that wants anyone else to go there. Because of the torment and the agony and the torture of that place. But if we could pull back the curtains of glory, those in heaven tonight are longing that others might go there, to that place of eternal bliss, that place of unending joy. The contrast couldn't be greater, and we don't have time to consider that contrast. Tonight it's either heaven or hell. Which is it? Oh, listen to this emergency alert tonight. Come to Jesus Christ tonight, leave your sin. Whatever it is that's holding you tonight, it is not worth losing your soul in hell over. Whether it be pride, whether it be family associations, maybe it's some sin that you just want to hold on to, whatever it is, it's not worth going to hell over. Listen to this emergency alert tonight. Oh, hear the agonies from this place. Hear the abandonment of this place. And heed the appeal from this place. Don't come here. Flee from the wrath of God. Tonight, be saved, get to Christ, be ready. May it never be said of anyone in this meeting tonight, as it was said of this rich man, that he also died and was buried and in hell. Don't go there, but rather tonight come to Christ and do it now. Let's bow in prayer.